وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرة مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you afiyah and the best of deen, dunya and akhirah. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Fawailun lilladhina yaktubuna alkitaba bi'aydihim thumma yaqulun hadha min indillahi liyashtaru bihi thamanan qalila. Fawailun lahum mimma katabat aydihim wa wailun lahum mimma yaksibun. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International. The bribery accepted by the Jewish scholars for passing inaccurate rulings, that's what we'll be discussing today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, destruction be to those who write the scripture with their hands and then say, this is from Allah, so that they may sell it for a measly price. Destruction be to them because of what their hands write, and destruction be to them because of what they earn. When people approach the Jewish scholars for rulings on certain matters, these scholars would pass rulings which suited them best on condition that they were offered a bribe. They would then alter or even reverse the teachings of the Torah, telling people that the ruling was in accordance with what Allah had revealed in the Torah. They would not alter the ruling in favor of someone who did not offer them a bribe. Thus, they committed a dual sin by altering Allah's scripture and by accepting bribery as well. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, destruction be to them because of what their hands write, and destruction be to them because of what they earn. The gains of this world are paltry compared to the everlasting boons of the hereafter. By accepting Islam and encouraging their congregations to do the same, the Jewish scholars would have become worthy of eternal bliss and comfort, which cannot be compared to the slight loss in wealth and position that may be incurred in this world. Even though the masses were ignorant of the teachings of the Torah, they ought to have realized that they could trust people who pass appropriate rulings only when they are bribed. وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً قل أتخذتم عند الله أحدا فلن يخلف الله أحده أم تقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون. They say, the fire will only touch us for a limited number of days. Say, have you taken a pledge with Allah which he cannot breach, or do you attribute to Allah such statements that you have no knowledge of? The false notion of the Jews that they will remain only a short while in hell. The Jews claim that they cannot be punished because they are adherents of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's religion, which they believe still has not been cancelled. They believe that even if they are to be punished, their punishment will only last for a few days, within which their forefathers worshipped the calf. That is 40 days. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Jews claim that they will suffer only one day's punishment for every 1,000 of the 7,000 years that the world is in existence. There is punishment for 7 days only. They believe that the Muslims will take their place in hell after they have left. When in Khaybar, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Jewish woman who attempted to poison him, who will be in hell? She replied, we will be in hell for a short while, whereafter your people will occupy our places. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go away from here. By Allah, you people will never emerge from hell, neither will we ever replace you there. Even though the Jews knew that a person who rejects any prophet of Allah is an infidel, a kafir, they still rejected the apostleship of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, even by their standards, they are destined for eternal punishment. However, they still claim that they will spend only a limited number of days in hell. Their expectations are therefore fabricated and nonsensical. It is for this reason that Allah Ta'ala says, say, have you taken a pledge with Allah, which you cannot breach, or do you attribute to Allah such statements that you have no knowledge of? Since their claims are baseless and without any substantiation from Allah, they cannot possibly expect these hopes to materialize. The foolishness of the Jews is evident from this verse. They are prepared to suffer in hell, even though it be for a short while, yet they do not want to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that he is Allah's true messenger. None can bear to burn even in the fire of this world. How can they ever expect to endure the fire of hell, which is 69 times more intense? Just as the Jews were deceived by their great expectations, many deviated sects in Islam also claim to be destined for Jannah, for heaven, although their beliefs are tantamount to infidelity, kufr. They make preposterous claims like saying that the Quran has been adulterated, or that Allah has entered into the bodies of their religious leaders, their imams. Some even claim to follow another prophet, yet they all entertain the expectation of entering Jannah. There are many people who believe that the lineage to a certain saint will guarantee their salvation in the hereafter. They are also deceived by their hopes and fail to realize that only belief, iman, and good deeds according to the teaching of the Quran and Ahadith guarantee salvation. Even the Bani Israel will not be guaranteed salvation because of their relationship with the prophets, alayhi salam. The wishful thinking of today's disbelievers, the kuffar. Just like the Jews are deceived by their wishful thinking, the adherents of many religions think that they also will attain salvation, although their beliefs have no basis. Many even make the absurd claim that the Muslims will not attain salvation in the hereafter. بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ However, the one who commits a sin and whose evil deeds have enveloped him, these are the ones who will be the dwellers of the fire. They will abide therein forever. Only those who believe and do good deeds shall be the dwellers of Jannah, wherein they shall abide forever. Who are the dwellers of the fire? And who are the dwellers of Jannah, heaven? Allah replies to the aforementioned statement of the Jews by identifying those destined for heaven, for Jannah, and those destined for hell, Jahannam. Allah says in the first of the two verses, however, the one who commits a sin and whose evil deeds have enveloped him, these are the ones who will be the dwellers of the fire. They will abide therein forever. Therefore, any person who falls into this category will be destined for eternal punishment in hell, even though one may think that the punishment will be temporary. On the other hand, only those who believe in Allah, in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the Quran, and do good deeds shall be the dwellers of Jannah, wherein they will abide forever. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ When we took the pledge from the Bani Israel, instructing them that you will worship Allah only, be kind towards parents, relatives, orphans, and the poor, speak kindly to people, establish salah and pay zakah. Thereafter, all besides a few of you reneged in aversion. The breaking of the pledge by the Bani Israel. The above verse mentions some of the injunctions contained in the Torah regarding which the Bani Israel took a pledge to fulfill. However, besides a limited few, all of them broke the pledge. Allah adds that they reneged in aversion, denoting that their nature was such that they were prone to renege. This was the practice of their forefathers as well. The commands issued to them were that they should worship Allah only, be kind towards parents, relatives, orphans, and the poor, speak kindly to people, establish salah, and pay zakah. These commands have been issued to the previous ummahs, the followers, and applies to the ummah, the followers of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, worship Allah, ascribe none as partner to Him, and show kindness to parents, relatives, orphans, the destitute, near neighbors, distant neighbors, close associates, travelers, and those in your possession. The command to establish salah and pay zakah has been issued in many verses of the Quran. The opening verses of Surah Al-Baqarah describe the pious people as those who establish salah and pay zakah. Therefore, the same command to the believers is mentioned here as well. The other surahs of the Quran also emphasize these two commands. Speak kindly to people. This command is extremely vast. It entails speaking kindly to all types of people, including Muslims, infidels, the kuffar, pious people, and evildoers. The general nature of the word kindly implies all types of good advice, guidance, showing respect, being kind when demanding rights, etc. The verse also alludes to the Jews that they should disclose the description of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the masses. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ ثم أنتم هؤلاء تقتلون أنفسكم وتخرجون فريقا منكم من ديارهم تظاهرون عليهم بالإثم والعدوان وإن يأتوكم أسارى تفادوهم وهو محرم عليكم إخراجهم أفتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض فما جزاء من يفعل ذلك منكم إلا خزي في الحياة الدنيا ويوم القيامة يردون إلى أشد العذاب وما الله بغافل عما تعملون أولئك الذين اشتروا الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة فلا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينصرون. When you took a pledge from you instructing you to not spill your blood and that you do not expel yourselves from your homes, thereafter you agreed and you even bore testimony to it, then you were the ones who killed yourselves and expelled a group of your people from their homes, assisting against them with sin and transgression. If they came to you as prisoners, you would ransom them, whereas the expulsion was forbidden for you in the first place. Do you believe in a part of the book and reject a part? What can be the punishment for those of you who perpetrate this, except disgrace in this worldly life and on the day of resurrection? They will be subjected to the severest of punishment. Allah is not unaware of what you do. These are the ones who have purchased the life of this world in place of the hereafter. The punishment will neither be lessened for them, nor will they be assisted. The above verse makes mention of yet another pledge that the Jews failed to fulfill. The Jews during the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam were also well aware of this pledge. The fact that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had knowledge of this proves that he is Allah's messenger, who was informed by none other than Allah. However, the Jews still refused to acknowledge his prophethood. It was previously mentioned that the Jewish tribes of the Banu Qurayza and the Banu Nadir originally lived in Medina Munawara. It was only afterwards that the idolatrous tribes of the Aus and Khazraj arrived from Yemen. Because the Arabs during those times could not live without fighting, the Aus and Khazraj were always at loggerheads. When fighting broke out, the Banu Qurayza aligned themselves with the Aus, while the Banu Nazir aligned themselves with the Khazraj. Whenever any members of these two Arab tribes were killed or expelled from their homes, the same would occur to their allied Jewish tribe. Whenever any member of the two Jewish tribes was taken prisoner, both the Jewish tribes would be prepared to pay ransom to free him. When they were asked about this, they replied that the Mosaic Sharia, which they followed, enjoined them to emancipate prisoners. However, the reason for a person becoming a prisoner and being expelled from his home was a fighting in which they wholeheartedly participated. This fighting against each other was also forbidden for them. However, when they are questioned about their participation in the battle against their brethren, they would reply that they were forced to assist their Arab allies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asked them, "Do you believe in a part of the book and reject a part of it? That is, do you only comply to the command to pay ransom while ignoring the command not to kill each other and to expel each other from their homes?" They observed the law selectively and omitted the rest. Rejecting any of Allah's laws would result in disbelief, in kufr, whereas failure to practice any law without rejecting it will render one a sinner, not a disbeliever, a kafir. However, failure to practice is akin to the behavior of the disbelievers, the kuffar. What can be the punishment for those who perpetrate this, except disgrace in this worldly life, and on the day of resurrection, the day of Qiyamah? They will be subjected to the severest of punishment. As a result, the Banu Nadir were banished from Medina Munawwara to Khaybar, where Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu banished them from there as well. The Banu Qurayza were all put to the sword. These are the ones who have purchased the life of this world in place of the hereafter. The punishment will neither be lessened for them, nor will they be assisted. None will come to their assistance in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on the Mubarak deen of Islam. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.